Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Breaking news at noon, a crash during the morning commute still causing some problems this afternoon. I'll tell you when this mess could be cleared.
Also, a woman charged in a death at an assisted living center heads to court today.
And maybe the fourth time will be the charm. Will House lawmakers vote in a new speaker? We begin this new with breaking news out of Durham, where a crash this morning is still causing backups at this lunch hour.
WRAL's Brian Schrader is live in the WRAL Traffic Center with a look at the delays and how folks can get around this situation.
That ramp from 85 southbound onto I-885 still is blocked. As we take a look at that live DOT camera, you can see this mess out here. I'm going to take you to some video Sky 5 shot this morning when a truck overturned on this ramp. This happened around 7:30 this morning. You can see the truck lying on its side there. Thankfully, it's very close to the guardrail there. And as far as we know, no reports of any serious injuries with this, but you can see that was a huge mess for crews to begin clearing this morning. It looks like the truck is gone, but they still have the cargo from the truck to clear from that ramp. And we're not sure when they're going to be able to get this worked out. DOT is now estimating that ramp could be closed till about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Let's talk about the best alternate route to get around this. You can see where they brought in some heavy equipment there to begin that cleanup process with that cargo. Coming in from the Butner area back down toward 885 this afternoon, consider using I-85 southbound to Club Boulevard, then to Junction Road. From there, you can hang a right onto Cheek Road and rejoin 885 on the other side of that mess.
All right, Brian, thanks for that. Today, we will learn more about the case of an assisted living facility employee now charged with killing one of the people who lives there.
Cynthia Sellers worked at the Windsor Point Retirement Community in Fuquay Varina. She's accused of killing 88-year-old Lily Cooper. Sellers is due in court this afternoon. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us now with what he's been able to find out about the resident who died. Ken.
My name's Jeff. In her obituary, Lily Cooper's family described her as kind and caring to anyone who crossed her path. Cooper was a native of Johnston County. She's survived by her three daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. This incident happened back in September at the Windsor Point Retirement Community in Fuquay Varina. Police say Sellers pushed Cooper to the ground during an argument. She suffered a severe injury and later died. Now, initially, Sellers was charged with assault on a disabled person, but when Cooper died, Sellers' charge was upped to murder. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan will be in the courtroom this afternoon when Sellers faces a judge. Look for new reporting on this story in our news starting at 4.
Ken, thank you.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, another day, another House Speaker vote. This is a live look at the House floor. After 3 weeks' division and tension, the House will again attempt to elect a Speaker this afternoon. Representative Mike Johnson became the fourth Republican to secure the GOP nomination last night. House Democrats will nominate Hakeem Jeffries. They do need 217 votes to win. The first actual vote will begin at 12:30 this afternoon.
Michelle, thanks for that. Today at the General Assembly, lawmakers are expected to finalize new voting maps. They voted yesterday along party lines, and today they will set up that final vote to possibly approve them. New maps drawn by GOP leaders would give Republicans a bigger political advantage in coming elections. The congressional map would likely elect 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats with one swing district. The State House and Senate maps would likely maintain Republican supermajorities in both chambers. Democrats are expected to challenge the new maps in court. A major education lawsuit is getting another hearing before the North Carolina Supreme Court. It's about a multi-billion dollar plan to increase funding for schools. Justices have decided to hear a petition from state lawmakers in the case known as Leandro. House Speaker Tim Moore and Senate President Phil Berger say they can't be ordered to provide billions of dollars toward an education plan they didn't create. The state Supreme Court had already agreed to take the case back up, but now it'll take it up this new issue as well.
Happening right now, the World Anti-Bullying Forum is underway at the Raleigh Convention Center. This is the first time that the national convention is being held outside of Europe. WRAL's Julian Grace attended the sessions where the Princess of Denmark greeted the attendees.
For 3 days, people will pack this room to talk about ways to address and prevent bullying.
Her Royal Highness Princess Mary of Denmark walked into the convention ballroom as spectators stood. And although Denmark and the U.S. are separated by 4,100 miles, both countries are challenged by bullying. For 3 days, people will pack this room to learn ways to prevent and address bullying. Those in attendance shared knowledge and best practices among researchers, policymakers, and doctors on how to advocate for children. Previous forums took place in Dublin, Stockholm, and now Raleigh. We asked UNC Distinguished Education Professor Dorothy Espelage why Raleigh was chosen to host the conference.
People don't understand that North Carolina has been leading in the research for over 5 decades on bullying prevention and youth violence strategies in general. So name the universities in our area, and we've been tackling this problem for a really long time.
Advocators say the best way for parents to address bullying in schools is to inform the teachers, administrators, and even the school board that there is a problem. Reporting in Raleigh, Julian Grace, WRAL News.
And in Wayne County, parents and children are encouraged to come out to an event to help stop bullying. The Mental Health Association there is hosting a dinner and workshop on the issue. This is all part of National Bullying Prevention Month. People are encouraged to stop by the WA Foster Center for free hot dogs and conversation. It begins at 5:30.
As the war between Israel and Hamas continues, here are today's headlines. Officials with the United Nations have warned the healthcare system there is failing. They fear it could be forced to stop operations altogether today as fuel runs out. Israel has refused a visa for UN officials after the Secretary General called for a ceasefire and claimed violations of international law in Gaza. More than 200 hostages are still being held in Gaza.
Gas prices in North Carolina are dropping, even as the war between Israel and Hamas has people worried about global markets. WRL's Kelsey Coffey tells us what experts are saying about this trend and what impact the war in the Middle East could have.
Gas prices here at the intersection of Hillsborough and Gorman in Raleigh are just below the state average today. Gas is $3.21 a gallon here at the BP behind me, and then it's also $3.21 a gallon at the Exxon across the street. Over the last month, the average price of gas in North Carolina has dropped by about 24 cents. That means if you have a 20-gallon tank, you're saving about $5 when you fill up. Patrick DeHaan with Gas Buddy says prices will continue to fall as long as Iran stays out of the war. That's because Iran is a much larger oil producer than Israel and Hamas.
We are starting to see some stations under the $3 gallon mark in the Raleigh metro area. I do think prices will continue to fall. But if the situation devolves in the weeks ahead, we certainly could see more of an impact.
But DeHaan says drivers should buckle up for 2024. He says prices could go above the $4 a gallon mark next spring. So if you want more information about how to find the cheapest gas prices in your area, head on over to the WRAL Fuel Tracker. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News in Raleigh.
Data released today by AAA shows the average price of gas in North Carolina is $3.24 a gallon. A month ago, it was $3.48. Nationally, the average cost for a gallon is $3.54. That's down 31 cents from last month.
Temperatures are warming up quickly right now. We're on our way to near record highs, possibly this weekend. And meteorologist Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now with a look at what's causing these temperatures to climb so far above normal this weekend, Kat.
We've got a big ridge of high pressure that's going to be building in across the southeast this week, and that's going to be driving temperatures up about 15 degrees above normal. The normal high this time of year is 70, and we have 5 days in a row with temperatures expected to be in the 80s. And we'll see the 80s continue into early next week. By the time we get to the weekend, temperatures are going to be running about 15 degrees above normal for this time of year and nearing records. Saturday, we're within a degree of the record set back in 1919 when it was 86. And Sunday, we do expect to break the record high of 83 set back in 1950. Now, when we look at October as a whole and the average number of 80 degree days that we see, we think after our stretch that we have ahead, we would be tied for third place with 13 days in the 80s this month. The average is only 6. The record, 17 days in the 80s during the month of October back in 2007. So we don't think we'll get there. But boy, Lake Gaston should be a busy place this weekend for those who have not winterized their boats yet. 78 degrees the high today in the Triangle, already warming up. We could be at 78 in Rocky Mount, 76 in Roanoke Rapids, and just to the south up to 80 for Fayetteville, Rayford, and Clinton. But temperatures are going to be coming crashing back down soon, and I'll have a closer look at that. that coming up.
I-95 South is back open in Johnston County after a three-vehicle crash early this morning. Authorities say two cars crashed into each other around 3 o'clock this morning. One hit the back of a trailer being towed by a Jeep. That turned the Jeep on its side. Three people were hurt. All are expected to be okay, and charges are expected out of this case.
Durham police are investigating two separate deaths just a block apart. Officers are calling this one on Liberty Street a homicide. It started as an assault call at Long Meadow Park. A man was unconscious and not breathing when officers got there. The man died at the hospital. No one is in custody at this time for that case. Durham police have identified the man who was killed around the corner at Liberty Street and Alston Avenue. Officers say he was 53-year-old Dirk Clay. 25-year-old Douglas Jones is charged with first-degree murder and is being held without bond.
Starting today, you can get a look at the plans for next year's Affordable Care Act. Open enrollment doesn't start until November 1st, but Five on Your Side found details about the plans, what they cover, what they cost. They were released today. You can go to healthcare.gov, enter a few details about yourself and your family to see what's available to you. Open enrollment ends January 15th. Meantime, next at noon, the state fair is over, and that opens a new phase for a major road construction project. What'll happen for the next year at Blue Ridge Road in Raleigh and how to get around it?
Also, one of the acting world's kings of cool has died, remembering the career of Shaft star Richard Roundtree.
Plus, tipping off ACC basketball with all the talk from Media Day. At 12:30, we hear from the commissioner about new additions to the conference.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Now that the state fair is over, crews are getting ready to begin a new phase of a major road project in West Raleigh. Brian Schrader is in WRAL Sky 5 with a long-term road closure and an update on the 440 widening project.
We're around the state fairgrounds over that major project that eventually will run Blue Ridge Road under the railroad tracks, under Hillsborough Street and Barrel Road. Once that's done, it's going to make for a much safer, easier trip for people traveling near the fairgrounds. The next step in that big project begins tonight. Crews are closing Barrel Road at Blue Ridge Road, just south of the railroad tracks. They're going to begin the process of lowering Blue Ridge and building the Barrel Road Bridge over it. Now, this is going to be a long-term closure lasting for about 1 year, so during that time, expect a detour. And while we're over this side of Raleigh, let's get an update on that 440 widening project. Crews are working to add an additional lane in each direction of 440 through West Raleigh, and they're building new interchanges that can handle growing traffic. One of those new interchanges is 440 at Wade Avenue, a brand new design out there. And starting Friday, crews will begin overnight closures for about 10 nights as they set girders for a new bridge. These might be full closures or intermittent closures affecting the ramps there at 440 at Wade Avenue, so expect detours, slow down, and pay attention. Both of those projects should be finished by the end of next year. In Sky 5 over Raleigh, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
The statewide Halloween Booze It and Lose It campaign is underway. You'll notice more law enforcement patrolling the roads looking for impaired drivers. According to the state DMV, at least 350 people have died in alcohol-related crashes this year. That's a statewide number. The Booze It and Lose It enforcement campaign runs through the end of the month.
We're hearing from the family of the 15-year-old boy who was shot near Moore Square Magnet Middle School in downtown Raleigh. This comes as the teen remains in the hospital fighting for his life. The teen's family says his name is Shamar Leverett. His parents tell WREL the Leesville Road High School student has already had one major surgery and will likely need more. Leverett's father says he's so worried about his son becoming a victim of gun violence, he recently bought him a bulletproof vest.
Well, son, you know, it's dangerous out here. You know, kids are getting killed for less. And I told him, I said, make sure whenever you go outside the house, make sure you have this vest on. You know, it snugged him very well. Couldn't nobody tell what he had or anything like that. But, you know, kids being kids, they just be hard-headed.
And he left it at the house.
And he left it at the house. And the time that he left it at the house, this is what happened.
The man accused of shooting the teenager is Stephen Stanley. He made his first court appearance yesterday. He has a long criminal history and is now being held on a $1 million bond. He's expected back in court November 14th.
Hollywood is mourning the death of film and television star Richard Roundtree. He was best known for playing the iconic character John Shaft in the 1971 action thriller Shaft, as well as a series of sequels. His longtime manager reported that Roundtree died after a brief battle with pancreatic cancer. The actor was also a breast cancer survivor. He was diagnosed back in 1993 and became an advocate for breast cancer awareness among men. Roundtree's film and television career spanned more than 50 years. Richard Roundtree was 81 years old. The new WRL documentary explores the complicated history of football stadiums in the Carolinas. You can watch Ghosts in the Stadium tonight at 7:30 on WRL and WRL.com. WRL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance and sports anchor Chris Lee uncovered secrets at four stadiums. Each story is tied to the history of race relations in the U.S., including Keenan Memorial Stadium at UNC Chapel Hill. It was named in honor of William Rand Keenan Sr., a white supremacist who participated in the murder of dozens of black men in the Wilmington Massacre of 1898. The school has since changed the name to honor his son, William Rand Keenan Jr. But former UNC professor William Sturkey says more transparency is needed.
We've never had a truly open conversation about the history of race regarding Keenan Stadium or anywhere else on this campus.
Chris and Kristen also uncovered the histories of Carter Finley Stadium, Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, and Clemson's Memorial Stadium.
Hurricane Otis slammed into Mexico's southern Pacific coast this morning as a powerful Category 5 storm. After making landfall about 25 miles northwest of Acapulco, Otis was downgraded to a Category 4 hurricane, and it has continued to weaken as it heads further inland. Forecasters predict 15 inches of rain in some areas, which is prompting fears of flash flooding. That is a popular tourist destination there, but there are about a million people who live in the Acapulco area right there, and they've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, big concerns about Otis. Let's get right to Kat Campbell, who shows us exactly where Otis is and what the impacts are.
I mean, it was just such a devastating hurricane because it went from a tropical storm to a Category 5 hurricane in just 24 hours. The National Hurricane Center calling this a nightmare forecast, unfortunately, and it's just rare that you hear them use such emotional language. Now, further weakening continues as the center moves inland. It's now over the central part of the country, and there's no more evident eye. It's weakening, but still dumping very heavy rain. And where you see the reds, the oranges, the black, that's where thunderstorm development continues. So we continue to see some of those bands of heavy rain, unfortunately, fall there. For us here at home, all is quiet right now. The jet stream lifting to the north as we see high pressure building in and temperatures climbing this week. But all the rain, it's going to line up in this general vicinity for the remainder of this week, and it's going to be right between that cooler air to the northwest and the warmer air that we have here across the southeast. For us, we'll see this pattern continue into the weekend. 82 the high on Friday, 85 on Saturday, and 84 degrees on Sunday. A very warm Halloween weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend. I know a lot of trunk or treats are happening, a lot of Halloween parties, heading to some haunted houses. You'll want the cooler option for your Halloween costume. I wouldn't bundle up for the weekend. That changes, though, as we get into Tuesday. So keep that in mind if you're going to be repurposing your Halloween costume for the weekend and Halloween. If you are headed to some of the haunted houses on Friday evening, I mean, it's going to be really nice out there. 68 at 8 o'clock. By 10 o'clock, still 65 degrees. And, of course, we have football this weekend. A big game for the Wolfpack. Clemson taking on NC State for a 2 o'clock kickoff. 2 o'clock, 85 degrees. 6 o'clock, 80. It's going to be hot on the bleachers, especially if you're going to be in the sunlight. So dress cool. It is shorts and t-shirt weather for the weekend. And we also have Fayetteville State University taking on Shaw. Kickoff at 1 o'clock Saturday. Great weather, sunny skies expected. 85 is the high during the afternoon, low 80s for kickoff. We also have the Canes in town Thursday and Friday, tomorrow evening and Friday evening. Temperatures are going to be in the lower 70s when the puck drops at 7 o'clock. All around, great weather. It's just going to be feeling a bit more like the late summer months. Outside today, we're in the low 70s. It's a beautiful day. Look at the bright blue sky across the area. If you're heading out for a dog walk, we'll cool off this evening, but not quite the sharp drop that we saw last night. We won't get into the 50s until 11, 12 o'clock, and then we we could see some patchy fog develop tomorrow morning. For the next couple of mornings, we have the potential for fog mainly south and east of Raleigh. But look at our temperatures. They just keep climbing. Our stretch of 80s on the way through the weekend and even into Monday. And then big changes for Halloween as the cooler air comes rushing in. We're going to have a much more in-depth look at your Halloween forecast and the new trends coming up.
Are you sure that isn't for May, but it's October? Crazy. Kat, thank you. How much is toilet paper hurting the environment? A new report shows it may be more than you think. Today at 4, WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin walks us through the key data points and shows us which toilet paper options are best.
And a $23,000 bill for what? Tonight at 6, a group of college students is billed thousands of dollars by their landlord over a beer pong table. 5 on Your Side's Keely Arthur shares the renter's rights everyone needs to know about. Well, still ahead this noon, if faced with an emergency, would you have 3 months in savings to get by? If you answered no, you're not alone. What a new survey revealed about American savings.
And could LED face masks hold the secret to more radiant skin? Experts weigh in on whether these devices are safe and whether they actually work. And welcome back. We continue to follow breaking news out of Durham. Sky 5 is flying over Jordan High School, and the lockdown has been lifted there. That lockdown was implemented starting around 11:30 because of some kind of threat. Authorities have since investigated that threat, and they found there was no threat. And so now classes are back to normal. That lockdown lifted at Jordan High School in Durham.
Boeing will deliver fewer 737 MAX aircraft than it expected this year. The company is working through production flaws detected on some of the best-selling aircraft. Boeing has not commented on the scope of the latest issue. The company expects to hand over between 375 and 400 of its workhorse planes this year, down from a previous estimate of 400 to 450. Battery-powered electric vehicles are the main attraction at this year's Tokyo Mobility Show. Mazda is highlighting a sports car concept that is a plug-in EV packed with its signature rotary engine. Honda also displayed its Prelude sports car EV concept. And Toyota's lean, angular Lexus concept, set to go on sale in 2026, is an electric vehicle running on lithium-ion batteries.
More than 80% of Americans say they have not increased their emergency savings this year. A new survey finds nearly a third of people also say they have less savings now than at the start of the year. In June, just under half of adults believe they had enough money to cover 3 months worth of expenses. Inflation is cited as the top reason why people have not increased their rainy day funds, along with too many expenses, too much debt, and a change in income or job. Apple is throwing support behind a nationwide right to repair bill. It would make iPhone parts and tools needed to fix its iPhones and computers available to independent repair shops and to consumers nationwide. Apple is an important piece of this effort because its products are so widely used and could help push other companies to follow suit. The Biden administration is pushing for this right to repair law in order to cut down on so-called junk fees and other anti-consumer practices that raise prices.
Bud Light will again be the official beer sponsor for the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Anheuser-Busch has agreed to a 6-year marketing partnership with UFC. The sponsorship is said to be the largest promotional deal in mixed martial arts history. It calls for Bud Light to get exclusive and high-profile branding at UFC events. And it could be a way for Bud Light to rebound after a summer boycott sent sales tumbling. The infamous Taco Tuesday expression is now free game for all 50 states after a recent lawsuit. Taco Bell says the phrase can be used after winning a legal battle to cancel the expression's trademark. It comes as Gregory's Restaurant and Bar in New Jersey forfeited its trademark registration. The company says anyone who makes or sells tacos can use the saying without legal consequences.
It's been 23 days since former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy was ousted by his own party. Since then, the GOP has tried 3 times to replace him. Could the 4th time work? We'll find out today.
Plus, the ACC, some sports fans there questioned the decision to add more teams from the West Coast to the conference. We'll hear from the commissioner about that decision after the break. And here are your NC Education winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
We'll be right back. Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
We begin this half hour with a live look at Capitol Hill. The House is in session ahead of an expected vote on the speakership bid of Representative Mike Johnson. The Louisiana lawmaker became the GOP's fourth speaker nominee after Representative Tom Emmer dropped out.
As Griff Jenkins reports, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says Johnson has the votes to win the gavel.
Perhaps the best sign is no sign. Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy's nameplate above his old office is gone now after 3 weeks of false starts. A new speaker may be in sight.
We are unified, and we're happy to be where we are.
Republicans appear to be standing behind Speaker-designee Mike Johnson. Johnson was second nominee of the day Tuesday and fourth overall, optimistic he has the votes necessary to change the status quo.
Thank you for allowing us to go through the process and get to this. It was worth it, and we are going to serve you well.
We think Mike Johnson's going to do really well. He's popular, he's smart, he's sharp, he's going to be fantastic.
Some still lamenting the ouster of Kevin McCarthy.
I did not support the removal of Kevin McCarthy. I think it was arguably the stupidest move ever made in politics.
And looming over this next speaker's head, the threat that he may land on the same chopping block as McCarthy after being elected.
Do you expect that the possibility of a motion to vacate won't be so flippantly thrown around anymore?
It's never been flippantly thrown around, and no one has wanted to use it. It's an act of desperation.
As Griff Jenkins reporting, Republicans know they're on the clock. They have to reopen the House before a stopgap government funding measure expires November 17th.
President Biden's name is not expected to appear on the ballot for the New Hampshire primary. The state refused to abide by new Democratic Party rules that South Carolina holds the first primary contest. The Democratic Party had moved to eliminate Iowa and New Hampshire as the states holding the first two presidential nominating contests in favor of South Carolina. The DNC wanted South Carolina to go first in a push for influence from more diverse states. South Carolina's presidential primary is February 3rd. Governor Roy Cooper is in our nation's capital today for a special state dinner at the White House. Cooper will attend the dinner honoring Australia's prime minister. The menu was designed in part by guest chef Katie Button, who owns a popular tapas restaurant in Asheville. The dinner will cap off a day of events with the prime minister, including a bilateral meeting and a joint news conference.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we have an update to a story we've been following since this weekend. An arrest has been made in a shooting that happened on Saturday in the parking lot of the Smith Recreation Center on Slater Avenue, right across the street from Fayetteville State University. This was the scene on Saturday. Rayvon Sparks is charged with murder and attempted murder. Four people were taken to the hospital with gunshot wounds. One of the victims, 31-year-old Emmanuel Smith, died from his injuries. The other three victims are expected to survive. But this afternoon, we do have an arrest. Raven Sparks charged with murder and attempted murder.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Moore, Orange, and Wayne counties. Moore County is getting a big financial boost to help attract visitors. Last night, the Convention and Visitors Bureau voted unanimously to award more than $820,000 in grants to six municipalities. Some of the money will be spent on a new carriage house event space in Southern Pines, a new skate park, as well as Sand Hills Community College baseball complex. And let's remember, the U.S. Open Championship takes place at Pinehurst No. 2 the week of June 10th through the 16th.
Over to Wayne County, the Goldsboro Family YMCA is hosting an event tomorrow to help the staff better understand the issues people face when money is tight and stress is high. Organizers need volunteers to help set up and serve as families facing poverty. Participants will be given a limited amount of money to pay for life's daily costs while dealing with unexpected challenges like unreliable childcare. The simulation takes place tomorrow from 9 a.m. until 1 at the facility on Parkway Drive. And in Orange County, the town of Chapel Hill is preparing for Halloween. Two busy roads will be closed in the downtown area, Franklin Street from Raleigh to Church Street and Columbia Street from Rosemary to Cameron Avenue. So the roads will be closed Halloween night from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Smaller roads that feed into these areas may be blocked as well.
This morning, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips explained the reason for adding three more teams to the conference. Commissioner Phillips addressed the media this morning as part of the ACC Basketball Tip-Off Media Day in Charlotte. WRL Sports anchor Chris Lee is there and joins us now with how local teams voted during all these expansion talks. Hey, Chris.
Jeff, I remember being a little boy, and it was a big deal when the ACC expanded from 8 teams to 9 teams when Florida State decided to join in. Then it went from 9 to what we have now is 15. Next year, when we're here, there will be 18 teams a part of the Atlantic Coast Conference, adding Cal, Stanford, and SMU, a move that still has a lot of people kind of scratching their heads. This morning, ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips addressed the media to talk about expansion. Some huge names in our conference were reportedly against it, like UNC. It was also reported that NC State was initially against expansion, but had a change of heart, which eventually gave the conference the vote it needed to expand to 18. Now, many questions still loom about the logistics of an 18-team conference, but Commissioner Phillips says that the future of the conference in today's world really depended on that expansion.
Getting to 18 protects the ACC now and into the future. Schools will ultimately make the decisions that they want. But what I keep hearing from them is, they like being in the ACC, and we are making progress, and we have addressed some of the things that they've talked about. So I would really encourage all of you to go back to whatever schools that you want to discuss that.
And another thing that was talked about and was asked is, how would the ACC approach 18 teams in the ACC basketball tournament? It's already a long tournament as it is, from Tuesday to Saturday every time that is held. Commissioner Phillips says that he only wants the top 15 teams to come in, that the bottom three, how bad your record is. If you can't make it into the ACC tournament, then you just won't be there. So we'll see what happens. Ultimately, the decision will be up to the member schools inside the conference, guys.
All right, more seats at the table there. Chris Lee, live over in Charlotte. Thanks for the update.
Healthcare workers are feeling burned out. What a new study reveals about the mental health crisis that first developed during the pandemic. Plus, you may have seen these devices on social media. Can LED face masks really give you better skin? What experts have to say about whether they're worth your money. Now, if you see news happening or you'd like to share a story idea with us, click report it in the WRL News app.
Here's a live look right now. Pinehurst Resort and Country Club. We're just stealing days on the golf season with weather like this for the rest of the week. Just beautiful out there. As you watch WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. There's growing concern about the mental well-being for healthcare workers across the country. A CDC report found nearly half American health workers reported feeling burned out in 2022. The number of workers who reported being harassed more than doubled. CDC report also revealed health professionals face worse mental health issues than employees in other industries. The study comes on the heels of the largest healthcare worker strike in U.S. history.
There's new LED technology to give your skin a radiant glow. The light-emitting devices promise transformative results. Experts say the LED face masks overall are safe and convenient while at the comfort of your own home. Yeah, check it out. This is what it looks like. Consumer Reports sheds lights on why some results may vary when using these devices.
LED therapy will work interacting with the skin at different levels, stimulating metabolism, the production of collagen and elastic fibers, and also, in case of the blue light, as an antibacterial.
The LED face masks range from hundreds to a couple $1,000s. Consumer Reports suggests to use the mask as recommended, especially if you have specific skincare concerns. Also, it's always a good idea to talk to your dermatologist. Helping children with homework can be stressful for the kids and, let's face it, for the parents. But there are some things you can do to make it manageable.
You want to make sure that your child's basic needs are met before beginning their homework.
More tried and true advice from pediatric psychologists to help students be productive.
Well, talks are in the works for a new veterinary service from Amazon. How help could be just a video phone call away. Experts say children thrive when they have a set structure and routine. When it comes to completing homework, it's important to follow a few simple guidelines, they say. Start on a positive note by checking in with your child after school before diving into any assignments. Be sure they're not hungry, tired, or need a brain break. Next, set aside cell phones and other devices when working on assignments. And when it comes to intervening with your child's homework, parents can help with different assignments, but you shouldn't be doing all the work.
So you really want your child to create confidence and autonomy in being able to do their own work. So you want to wait until your child is able to reach out to you to say they need help with a certain problem. And you want to create that relationship that they know that you're available during their homework time to help them when they need it.
Child psychologists say parents can openly express when they need to take a break and when they're overwhelmed, engage in a relaxation activity with the child, and then return to the assignment.
Our teacher of the week is teaching in the same elementary school she attended. WRL's Brian Schrader takes us to Harnett County to meet an educator who celebrates her hero every day.
All right, our number of the day was 85.
Kylie Patterson says she knew she wanted to be a teacher before she even started kindergarten.
And I remember on the weekends, my grandma would find me down there in the basement, and I would literally be down there for 5-6 hours playing school. So I just knew I wanted to be a teacher.
Patterson is teaching at Ben Haven Elementary School in Harnett County, where she attended 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. She's been teaching for 10 years, 8 of them with second graders.
Second grade is probably one of my favorite grades, and I think it's because the kids are still kids. At the end of the day, they still love you, they still give you a hug, but they're also independent.
Teaching can be stressful, but Patterson says she just thinks about her hero, her mother.
I watched her fight a courageous 4-year battle with metastatic breast cancer, and I lost her back in August. And she's my reason that I keep going, because every day was hard for her, but never once did she complain. And that's what I want to do. Teaching is hard, but I will never complain about being a teacher.
Kylie Patterson is WRAL's Teacher of the Week. I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
If you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
We have seen both ends of scary when it comes to weather around Halloween. Kat Campbell is in the WRL Severe Weather Center right now. Look at some of those extremes.
And, you know, a lot of us remember just a few years ago in 2019, that was the warmest Halloween on record. We had 85 for the high that day. And if you remember that year, we also had severe weather move through that night. The good news is we don't expect to break any of these records this year. The coldest we've ever had back in the 1960s, we had 30 degrees. Wettest, over 4 inches of rain back in 1887, and there has been a trace of snow. It was that same year. But let's talk about our latest Halloween forecast. 64 is our forecast high. It may actually be in the morning that we see the 60s, and then temperatures fall into the 50s by the afternoon. That's the trend I've seen today. Breezy weather expected, and rain is possible as we see this front move in. But the models are inconsistent on the timing with whether or not the rain moves in, perhaps in the morning or the evening. The trend I've noticed today, and I am tracking some of the new models coming in as we speak, is for that rain to pass through in the morning, which may end up leaving us dry for trick-or-treating. That means temperatures are going to be falling, though, as kids are headed out trick-or-treating. So go ahead, you know, if they're repurposing a costume from the warm weather this weekend into Tuesday of next week, add a layer to that costume for Tuesday. And then in terms of how much rain we could see, I've not seen a single model show more than a quarter of an inch of rain. So it doesn't look like it's going to be a soaking wet system for us on Halloween. But the temperature drop that comes with this is going to be significant behind the cold front. The coldest air is going to stay to our north, but we are looking at the coolest air of the season moving in throughout the day on Tuesday and moving into the middle of next week. And you can see that on our temperature outlook. Below normal temperatures are in the forecast, including North Carolina, for October 30th through early November. And then during that same time period, above normal rainfall in the forecast along the southeast coast. And I have seen a trend toward the end of next week for a coastal low trying to bring some rain to the area at the end of next week. So we'll keep an eye on that. But for now, dry weather across the board. I think a lot of us are going to need the rain by next week. Dry weather all the way through Monday. 71 outside today. Our sun setting before 7:30 now in Raleigh. 6:27 is the sunset. If you're headed out tomorrow morning, there could be a little patchy fog in the morning, so be aware of that, mainly south and east of Raleigh. By lunchtime, we're up to the upper 60s and a high tomorrow
tomorrow, climbing into the 80s for many of us. 78 degrees are high today, starting in the 80s tomorrow. 80 here in the Triangle, 82 on Friday. Mid-80s in the forecast over the weekend as temperatures soar about 15 degrees above normal this time of year. And then temperatures drop almost 20 degrees as we head into Halloween. Maybe even more than that when you account for. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Right now, a ramp on I-85 in Durham is still closed after a crash this morning. A truck ended up on its side near the guardrail. This is the southbound ramp to I-885. Crews are currently working to get that ramp back open. Authorities have not reported any serious injuries. DOT estimates the route could be closed until about 3 this afternoon.
Today, we'll learn more about the case of an assisted living facility employee now charged with killing one of the people who lived there. Cynthia Sellers worked at the Windsor Point Retirement Community in Fuquay Varina. She's accused of killing 88-year-old Lily Cooper. Sellers is due in court this afternoon. Look for new reporting on this story in our news starting at 4.
Today, the General Assembly is expected to finalize new voting maps. Lawmakers voted along strict party lines to approve them, setting up today's final vote. The new maps, strong by GOP leaders, would give Republicans a bigger political advantage in coming elections. The congressional map would likely elect 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats with one swing district.
Save your coins. Beyonce's highly anticipated perfume will be out just in time for the holidays. Yeah, Queen Bee dropped a video on her Instagram page today of her new fragrance. It showcases a silver chrome-plated mirrored bottle, sharp edges rotating there. Saint Noir translates to this phrase, this black, it's called. The Eau de Parfum was created in France and is available for pre-order. It's $160. Most popular type of bananas could be on the brink of extinction. Scientists are warning a fungal infection is threatening to kill off the Cavendish banana. It makes up about half of the types of bananas people eat. The fungus has spread to some of the world's largest banana-producing countries, and it is hard to cure. Scientists say they have at least 10 years to come up with a solution before the effects become extreme.
Well, here's hoping they do. Amazon could be making it easier to treat your pet. A new report says the company is looking to expand its business to offer veterinary services. A new deal with vet telehealth provider Pop could be on the table after its partnership with Walmart expires next month. Reports say Amazon could turn to other pet health startups. Walmart began offering online veterinary services earlier this year.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. At just 5 months old, he's certainly not a fully grown adult yet, but he is already a very big kitten. Mr. Big Stuff loves to play and would do well if he was adopted with one of his siblings or to be a friend to a high-energy cat or cat-loving dog at home. He is comfortable being handled and having his nails trimmed. Mr. Big Stuff, you can meet him today by filling out an application on the Cat Angels website.
The cutest face.
Just strutting his big stuff. Mm-hmm. NBC News Daily is up next on WRAL, your local news update coming your way in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRAL News app. Have a wonderful day.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.